Luke chapter 23 from verse 32. There are also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew: "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. In our reading in the book of Luke, we have some of the last words that Jesus spoke before he died. It's interesting, if you look through history and you look at the last words of some of the famous people of history, some of their phrases are quite interesting. There was a Victorian man called Ned Kelly. What was reported to be his last words? "Such is life." That's right. Louis Costello, the comedian, he said in his last words, it's recorded, "That was the best ice cream soda I ever tasted." Daniel Webster, the dictionary man, his last words are reported to be, "I still live." Bing Crosby, the singer and actor, he said, "That was a great game of golf, fellas." And then there was Pavarotti, the famous Italian tenor. He died in 2007, and he was sharing his final thoughts with his manager before he died. And Pavarotti said, "I believe that a life lived for music is an existence spent wonderfully, and this is what I have dedicated my life to." If you go through the Bible, you can actually find some of the last words of various men of God. I think of Moses. Just near the end of Moses' life, Moses wrote a song, and it's recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And Moses said this, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." Near the end of the Apostle Paul's life, he wrote some last words down for young Timothy. It was within perhaps weeks, maybe only days, of Paul's martyrdom. And his words to Timothy were, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. If you study the Gospels with the last words of Jesus, you'll find that there's actually seven statements that Jesus makes on the cross before he dies. The number seven is significant in the scriptures. The number seven means completion. And so before Jesus dies, he makes these seven statements. I'm just going to read to you what those statements are and then just explain them to you. Luke 23, our passage there, verse 34, we have the first statement, and Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." The second statement on the cross is Luke 23:43. "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." That's what Jesus said to one of the thieves on the cross. The third statement, John 19:26. "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, that's John, "Behold your mother." The next one comes from Matthew 27, verse 46, where Jesus says, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" And that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The next statement, number five, is in John 19:28, "I thirst." Number six statement, the Bible records, "So when he had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished,' and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." And the seventh statement we see is in Luke 23, verse 46, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Let's just briefly go through each of the seven statements that Jesus made. The first statement that Jesus made was a statement of forgiveness. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here Jesus prayed for his enemies. The soldiers had placed a crown of thorns upon him. They'd spat on him. They'd mocked him. They put a purple robe on him. He'd been scourged by the Roman soldiers. He'd been marched up to the hill of Calvary. There he'd been laid out on the ground, and they'd hammered nails through his hands and his feet. They then stood the cross up, thumped it down into the ground. And yet Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Do you remember the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus on the cross was being an example of what he'd stated on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus in Luke 6 verse 27 says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." In Luke 6:36, he says, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Here Jesus is praying for his enemies. He's asking God the Father to forgive them. It was a fulfillment, I believe, of Isaiah 53. Some 700 years before Jesus came, a Jewish prophet wrote these words. In Isaiah 53 verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." He was wounded for our transgressions. He was the Son of God who'd been mocked by the soldiers, tortured by those soldiers, and yet asked for forgiveness for them. Those words, I believe, were not just spoken for the soldiers on that first Good Friday. They were words that were spoken for us today. A hymn writer wrote this, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?" Well, I wasn't there, and you weren't there, but our sins were. You see, God stepped out of history and came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he went to Calvary, he was actually dying for the sins of the entire world. For your sins and my sins and every person that has ever existed. No, we weren't there personally, but God was punishing him for for my sins and your sins. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." When John the Baptist came, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus Christ not only was offering forgiveness to the soldiers, but he offers forgiveness to every single person that comes to him, acknowledging his death on Calvary. The Bible says, "For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus was willing to forgive the undeserving. What about forgiveness in your own life? Is there someone perhaps today that comes to mind that you need to forgive? The story is told of Leonardo da Vinci when he was painting that picture of the Last Supper. Leonardo da Vinci had trouble with another artist of his time, a man that he disliked. And so what Leonardo da Vinci did was he painted the artist's face as the face of Judas. But Leonardo da Vinci found out that he could not paint the face of Christ until he erased the face of Judas. He had to find forgiveness in order to complete his masterpiece. I believe each of us need to find forgiveness for those that hurt us. And we can stumble on in life and never having completed God's masterpiece, his plans for us in our life, because we hold some sort of grudge, because we won't forgive someone. You've heard of Corrie ten Boom, and she was in a church in Munich, and as she was speaking in that very church about forgiveness, her and her sister had been in a concentration camp. Her sister had died in that concentration camp. If you read her book, you read about the horrors that they went through. And she's speaking in a church in Munich, and she finished her talk, and as she looked up the back, she recognised that there was a commandant, one of the soldiers, one of the cruel men that had been in their camp, a former guard. And there the former prisoner faced the former guard. And after her speaking, to her horror, the man came down to talk with her. And as you read her book, you'll find that she struggled so much to reach her hand towards that man. She knew she had to forgive him. And she did, by the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, "Help." She said, "I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much." And she did. And she said, "I forgive you, brother." She cried with all her heart. And the book says, "For a long moment we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then." The Lord Jesus is our example. He not only preached about loving our enemies, but he loved his enemies and asked the Father to forgive them. The second saying we find is in Luke 23:43, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Two thieves either side of Jesus, and when you read the Gospels, you find that both these thieves actually abused Jesus at one stage. Then one of the thieves came to know that Jesus was king. In Luke 23:42, he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." I say the thief dined with the devil in the morning and supped with the Saviour in the evening. There was a guy that was against Christ. A hardened criminal, abusing Christ on the cross, but he has a change and he recognises that Jesus indeed is the King. And Jesus gives him an assurance that that last moment that he spends on earth will be the moment that he enters the paradise of God, that he would be with the Lord Jesus as Saviour. The Apostle Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I wonder this morning, do you know that the moment you die, that you'll immediately step into heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? It's absolutely possible to know that. John wrote and he said, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So it's absolutely possible to know that you can have eternal life. Eternal life is provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I walked out to the church to greet people this morning here, and I thought, how sad. Looked over at the Presbyterian church, few people going there. Looked at our church, few people coming up the stairs. How sad that Newcastle and many in this city don't know the good news that the moment that they die, they can step into eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ because of his sacrificial death on the cross. The churches should be filled today because of the good news of the gospel of a Christ that died for each of us. God wanted that thief to know that he could have the assurance of eternal life. That thief realised that Jesus was king, and one day the king is coming again. The first time he came, they crowned him with thorns. The next time he comes with many crowns, crowns of gold. Let's have a look at the third saying. Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. That's recorded in John 19, verse 26. There Jesus made sure that his mother's looked after. Jesus shows that he has care for his family member. He also shows care for John the Apostle as well. I think when a person becomes a Christian, their care for their parents should be intensified. When you know Jesus as your Saviour, whether your parents have been, in your mind, good to you or not, there should be a real care for our mum and dad and our grandparents if we're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave an example there, dying on the cross in all that agony, and yet the Lord Jesus was concerned for his mother and he was concerned for John as well. What a great concern we should have for our families, especially our families that don't know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. And also what great concern we should have for our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth saying is found in Matthew 27 verse 45. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. in the morning. At 12 o'clock a darkness covered the land and it lasted for 3 hours. And during that 3 hours, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There in that darkness, the Lord Jesus was made sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Jesus in that 3 hours paid the full and final penalty for the entire world. From Adam to when the world ends, Jesus suffered that on the cross for each of us. And part of that suffering was that he felt forsaken by God the Father. When people go to hell, people are forsaken by God the Father. Jesus didn't go to hell. Jesus paid the full and final penalty for our sin on the cross, not in hell. But what I'm saying is that in hell, people are forsaken. Forsaken by God. They do not receive the love of God. Terrible, terrible thing to consider. And Jesus experiences and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken by God the Father, so that we might not be forsaken, so that we might be loved by him. In this was manifested the love of God towards us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, here in his love, not that we love God but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The fifth saying is found in John 19 verse 28 where Jesus said, I thirst. Perfect man became perfect God. He experienced physical want and pain as a human being. He thirsted like you and I. And he thirsted and became a man so that we would no longer have a spiritual thirst. You know what Jesus said to the lady by the well in John chapter 4? But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The sixth saying, it is finished. That phrase, it is finished, is translated with one word in the Greek, tetelestai. It's an interesting word. Tetelestai was used by a servant reporting to his or her master on the completion of a task. I could go to duty this morning. I could have gone to her last night and said, tetelestai, I cleaned the bathroom. It is finished. Hope she noticed. It was a familiar term in commercial life. It signified the completion of a commercial transaction when a debt was fully paid. Try going up to the bank manager when you've paid the mortgage for the last day and sing out in Greek, tetelestai. And then you can translate for him. It is finished. It is over. A debt has been paid. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. And he paid that debt with his blood. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it as white as snow. When a lamb was searched for, a perfect lamb for sacrifice for the temple, the servant could come to his master and he could say, tetelestai, it is finished, I've found the lamb. It is finished. The greatest words ever uttered by the greatest man that had ever lived. The full and final payment for our sins, paid in full on the cross. Name your sins. Adultery. Tetelestai. Lying, tetelestai. Abortion, tetelestai. Thieving, tetelestai. Prostitution, tetelestai. Child abuse, tetelestai. Paid in full at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The seventh saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Luke 23 verse 46. We're made up of body, soul and spirit. And Jesus committed his spirit into the hands of the Father. I wonder, has there ever been a time where you've committed the spiritual part of your life, body, soul and spirit? Has there ever been a time where you've committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Into your hands I commit my spirit. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he asked the Roman believers to commit their bodies to the Lord. He said, I beseech you, in Romans 12 verse 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And then he went on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When Jesus walked this earth, he lived his whole life committed to God, and in his death he was still committed to God. The Lord Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It's sad on Good Friday that there are many people that yet do not know that they can have sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus. There are many famous sayings around the world, but I think the seven sayings of the Lord Jesus, the last sayings of Jesus on this earth, can speak to each of us today. What about you? Do you understand what the seven sayings of the Lord Jesus are? Your life. The Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich." I talked about a couple of months ago when I went to Lightning Ridge, and I went to the place called Lunatic Hill. Not because we were, but we went there at Lightning Ridge and we were teaching scripture. And I mentioned to this church that I met a man who was in an old shack sitting there with his dogs, and he had these rough cut opals that he had on display. And he told me he was stuck for a bit of cash and he had to sell one of his valuable opals for $50. He was sitting in this shack right near this big open cut mine called the Lunatic Hill Open Cut. And he told us his story. And his story was that he was asked to go into a syndicate of 12 men to invest in that mine, but he refused. And he told us that they pulled out over $130 million worth of opal from the Lunatic Hill open cut mine. This man sits in his poverty with his dogs in the tin shack overlooking the open cut of the Lunatic Hill mine. A man that missed a great opportunity. I think there are many people today that miss the opportunity of eternal life because they've never ever realised the love of the Lord Jesus to them. They've never understood that he desires to forgive them and that he went to the cross and he died on that cruel cross for their sins. And they are in poverty because this world one day is going to pass away and they're going to pass away. And they're in absolute poverty. They neglect the fact that one day there was a man called Jesus who was God in the flesh, that lived a perfect life, who was an unrecognised king to many and went to the cross for each of us. That's the story of Good Friday. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that we have an understanding of the Lord Jesus' character by the last sentences that he uttered. Seven sentences. Complete sentences. Sentences that give us an understanding of how great he is, of the wonderful character that Jesus was, and the wonderful care that he displayed for all humanity, even in his dying hours. Lord, I just pray for anyone here this morning that does not know the forgiveness of sins, that they might this day come to Jesus and recognise that he became poor for our sakes, that we might become rich, that one day we might enter into the presence of God, not because of our own works, but because of the work of Christ on the cross. We thank you that we can remember this again on this Good Friday, and we pray, Lord, that we would take this message to others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.